having a little coordination problem this morning. And good morning. You can tell we're not coordinated because we didn't have a pastor. We didn't have a pastoral prayer. So why don't we start with that first? Prayer requests. Somebody or something we need to keep up. This is the same blank stare I get in my Sunday school class. I don't know. There are a couple. Dale Gordon recuperating from his hip operation. Obviously, we want to keep Pastor and Jenny like they not only have the safety, but a rest, a relaxation. He's a very easygoing guy, as you've probably noticed by now. But there is tension that builds in the pastor's head and heart during the course of a year, and he needs to break. We pray that he gets it. Steve asked for continued prayer for the caboose. They're having some good success. So for today, correct? They're done today. Keep them in prayer as well. And I have heard nothing about Randall, about his surgery, and obviously want to keep him opened up in our hearts. Shall we pray? Father God in heaven, as we gather this morning to rejoice and to praise, to worship you, as we look to open up your word and understand it, to hold up before you these folks with potential problems or for simply comfort and safety. We know that you know all these things and many more. You know the things we have never spoken of, the things that we keep to ourselves, the praises that we forget to share, the little blessings. So we simply commit this time, this day, to you in great worship and praise. We ask that you would bless your word to us now this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Who has the remote? Because I don't. You can operate from all the way back there? All right. Ready to go. Passage you read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is an account taken from Paul's life, but it is a passage I'm sure he chose to be shared. Beginning of verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, I just found that so interesting that it would pop up on our last song. Thank you. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus raised up us also by Jesus, and shall be present with us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. But for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. Trust God will bless his word for us this morning. I ask a question. Have you got problems? Anybody here have a problem? I got a couple of smiles anyway. Of course we do. And we mentioned it in our class this morning. Not only do we have problems, but we have the same problems. We share them in common. Some of the problems are simple and easy ones, like Pastor losing the ring 2 weeks ago. And the answer pops up just as fast the very next day. Sometimes the problems are more severe health issues. We think about Randall with the brain tumor, or Dale now recuperating, as Linda has, as Mary has, from hip surgery. There are a lot of problems that are problems of the mind, problems of the heart. I've always thought that if there's any man apart from our Lord who understood problems, suffering, it had to be the Apostle Paul. He was beaten, he was persecuted, he was thrown in jail, he was tried, released, whole series of things he's gone through. And on top of all that, he had to travel with a sickly body to minister to people, to share the gospel, to train others, to be denied. He had the whole gamut. This passage here, he's writing to the church at Corinth, his second letter, trying to share a little bit about what is going on, and he uses himself, the things that he himself has gone through, and I don't think they're restricted just to us. I think we're all exposed to these problems. Verses 8 and 9, there are four of them listed. The first one in verse 8. We are pressed. We are troubled. The Greek word means pressed, compressed, to be squeezed in, to be narrowed, to be restricted in some fashion. Do you ever feel that you don't have choices? What other problem happened? Maybe it's health, maybe it's bills, maybe it's the people on the job, but there is, I don't have ways out. I hemmed in. Every time I try to do something, it just doesn't, they don't like me. They won't let me do whatever. You ever feel like you're pressed upon? Paul was, obviously. There's an interesting passage in the Gospels. Jesus is speaking to a large mob, more than one time, obviously. And he is compressed, the same word is used. The mob comes down, and they're getting closer and closer because everybody wants to hear, everybody wants to be near. And as the mob grew, it compressed, pushed forward. He's now back, basically back to the water. So he steps into a boat, pushes off a little bit. Now they can't get to him any closer. He had a way out. The passage says, we are troubled, we are pressed on every side. All the time, it's constant, but we are not restrained. Interesting word. It means to be tied up, to be handicapped so that you are incapable of action. You can't do anything. We may be pressed. We may have problems. We may not be able to see a way out, but we are not tied down. We're not restricted. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, don't turn. In Hebrews 4:16, a familiar verse for most. Even though we are hemmed in, we can always kneel down. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. We always have an out. Regardless of what the circumstances are that we may not see, we always have an opportunity. We always have an out. There's always something. I use the illustration of Pastor and his ring simply because it is a simple one and one we're familiar with for those that went out to the baptism. He dropped the ring in the water in that murk. No chance of finding it. He dived down. He searched for it for a while. Couldn't seem to find it. But God provided, out of the blue, someone else to take care of it. Was he praying, what am I going to tell Jenny on my way home? Was he praying, Lord, is it possible that we can find something, and then bang, the next day? That's the simple one. The person with the heart attack or the brain tumor or major surgery, illnesses of one form or another, that's a little hard. We may be troubled, but we are not without help. The second one in the verse says, we are perplexed. Nobody uses that word anymore, perplexed. In difficulties, it literally means to be in doubt. Have you ever been in doubt? The 2 o'clock in the morning, wrestling with something. It's not just a matter of I don't know what to do. I don't know what's the right thing to do. I don't know what to do at all. I don't know what to think. How many times have you perhaps? I don't know what to believe. I don't remember who said it. A couple of weeks ago in Sunday school class, one of the men said he was looking for his wife. She had been there, and he couldn't see her. He looked around, and he couldn't find her. And the one quick thought, the rapture. I missed it. Enough smiles that you guys have all had. Me too. Linda suddenly disappears, and I'm going, I mean, this is ridiculous. After 50 years of being saved, I ought to know better, but there is in that heart a doubt, a concern, a fear. Did I miss out on something? Do I not understand? To be in difficulties in the mind. Both these passages in verse 8 deal with the interior, what's going on in your head. Of all the problems we face, I've often thought that the ones that are in our head are the worst. Are they not? The threat of fear, the threat of a problem, the anxiousness, the anxiety of a problem always seems to be worse than the problem itself. For you youngsters going to school and you didn't do the homework the way you should have and you're afraid of what the teacher's going to say when you hand it in, I see a couple of smiles, all right. And the adults, we've all been there, we know that. The anxiety is always worse. But to be in doubt, to not know, to not understand, to be perplexed but not despairing. It says we are perplexed but not in despair. This is also another interesting word. It means to have no hope, to be completely without, completely lost. When you ever feel that way, in Colossians chapter 1, speaking about this issue, having a lack of hope, Paul writes this in verse 27, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have accepted Christ, if you've been saved, you are saved. Past tense done, present tense continuing, future tense always going to be. For we are indwelt, Christ in you. That confident hope, that expectation. So when you feel like there's no way out, you feel like you're completely lost, don't fret, stop, and think for a second. I'm a child of the King. God's going to work the problem out. I don't have to worry about it. I not only have help, if I pray, I have a hope. When everything else is gone, I still have a hope. Had a professor in college that used to explain it this way. When you're totally lost, when you don't even trust your own mind, never doubt in the dark what God has demonstrated in the day. Can you recall an event, a situation, a circumstance where God did something in your life that you knew was just so clear-cut? The birth of your child, leading a spouse or a child to Christ, that moment when you know God just worked. When the baby comes out and it's got all of its arms and its legs and it can hear and it can move, and there's no health problems that you're aware of. A blessing. When God has done something in your life that is definitive and clear and you know it, or you knew it, don't doubt whatever happens after that. For whatever the doubts, whatever the problems, whatever the fears, nevertheless, you have this one thing. God worked in my life. God's going to continue working my life. He is my hope of glory. The third and fourth are found in verse 9. The fourth one is, we are persecuted. The word means to be pursued, to be chased, to be hounded. These two in verse 9 talk about external, not internal. If you work for a large corporation, there's lots of people involved, lots of different agendas. Everybody's trying to get their place, sometimes by stepping on top of somebody else in the process. If there was any man who was persecuted, I think it was the Apostle Paul. He was hounded literally all over the Mideast world. Can you imagine showing up on a Sunday morning for a small group and have a larger group come in and scowl, wave their arms, stand outside and complain, yell at you, threaten you, to be persecuted? It's interesting. The phrase is used in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 23. There is an illustration of a deer being chased, a deer being hounded, being run to ground so it could be killed and eaten. Do you ever feel like you were being persecuted? Sometimes it's even in the family, isn't it? The unsaved members of the family who just will not listen to what you say. And if you open your mouth, you get cut off. People that should love you the most sometimes hurt you the most. Isn't that not true? We may be persecuted. We've got tremendous freedom. We have, none of us, I assume, none of us have been persecuted. Certainly not like Christians in other lands, to the point of death. We are persecuted, but we are not deserted. This is a great phrase.